Thank you, Joe. Let me encourage you to take a Bible and to open to Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. I'd like for us to begin with the text in Acts chapter 10, verse 21. And a rather long reading, but we'll read down to verse 33. Acts chapter 10, beginning in verse 21. Then Peter went down to the men who had been sent to him from Cornelius and said, "Yes, I am he whom you seek. For what reason have you come?" And they said, "Cornelius the centurion, a just man, one who fears God and has a good reputation among all the nation of the Jews, was divinely instructed by a holy angel to summon you to his house and to hear words from you." Then he invited them in and lodged them. On the next day, Peter went away with them, and some brethren from Joppa accompanied him. And the following day, they entered Caesarea. Now, Cornelius was waiting for them and had called together his relatives and close friends. As Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter lifted him up, saying, "Stand up, I myself am also a man." And as he talked with him, he went in and found many who had come together. Then he said to them, "You know how unlawful it is for a Jewish man to keep company with or go to one of another nation. But God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Therefore I came without objection as soon as I was sent for. I asked then, 'For what reason have you sent me?' So Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing, and said, 'Cornelius, your prayer has been heard, and your alms are remembered in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa and call Simon here, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging in the house of Simon a tanner by the sea. When he comes, he will speak to you.' So I sent to you immediately, and you have done well to come. Now therefore we are all present before God to hear all the things commanded you by God." We might take a moment to think a little bit about the context of this reading. The Bible indicates to us that before Jesus' ascension back into heaven, he had given what is sometimes referred to as the Great Commission, the assignment to his apostles to, as it's worded in Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16, to go into all the world and to preach the gospel to every creature. Text indicates to us, though, that up until the point that we've just read about in Acts chapter 10, that was not fully carried out. In Acts chapter 11, which is actually placed after the events that are described related to Cornelius in chapter 10 and 11, it indicates to us that they had essentially only brought the gospel to Jews only. This is an unusual circumstance because Cornelius is not a proselyte. Even though he is one that is a God-fearing man, he's one that offers prayer and alms, he is not a Jew. And yet, he had not received the gospel. In this circumstance, we learn about the first time in which the gospel is brought to a Gentile man. What led to this, as we noticed a little bit from the reading, Cornelius had had a vision, and he relates that in the text that we just looked at. What the text that we just read does not tell us is the vision that Peter as well had had. And that is, prior to the coming of those men from Cornelius, he had had an unusual dream in which there were animals of all types in a sheet that were let down. And he was instructed to take and kill and eat. And being a Jewish man that would only eat those clean animals, only eat those things in accordance with Mosaic law, he initially refused. And yet the Lord instructed him, "What God has cleansed, do not call common." And that is what he's talking about when he makes reference to that God had shown him that he shouldn't call those things unclean which God had cleansed. This sets the stage for Peter then teaching Cornelius about Jesus Christ. And as a miraculous demonstration to show that yes, in fact, what Jesus had commanded in Mark chapter 16 was to be fulfilled, that all the nations were to hear the gospel. Something happened in the teaching of Cornelius and his household that did not happen in general, and that is the Holy Spirit fell upon the household of Cornelius as Peter was speaking. And that became the proof and the evidence that was needed to lead them to understand, yes, we can take the gospel to the Gentiles. And Cornelius and his household were obedient to the gospel and were baptized into Christ. We left off in our reading, though, at the end of verse 33 with a statement I want to call to your attention. Something that Cornelius says when he declares to Peter that he's ready, and the way that it's worded in our Bibles, the Holy Spirit has revealed this wording: we are all present before God to hear all the things commanded you by God. I want us to think about some things that are interesting about this statement. First of all, we see that Cornelius recognized that he and those who were with him stood in the presence of God. There's a sense in which that's true at all times. A familiar passage that we've actually gone to a few times over the last few weeks. Go to Psalm 139 and remember what David says there in the context of talking about there's no way you can hide from God. In Psalm 139 and verse 7, he simply declares this statement: where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? We must understand that we are always in the presence of God. But while you're here in the Psalms, we must notice that that is especially true when God's people are assembled together. A statement that is made in one psalm over, Psalm 140, look at verse 13, and I want us to notice the idea that is expressed in this passage, Psalm 140 and verse 13, "Surely the righteous shall give thanks to your name, the upright shall dwell in your presence." And many of us are familiar with a statement that Jesus would make in Matthew chapter 18 and in verse 20. Matthew chapter 18 and verse 20, in the context certainly of talking about discipline that a church is to mete out upon one that is unwilling to repent of sin, the statement is made in Matthew chapter 18 verse 20, "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them." You know, in a very special sense, while it's true that we're always in the presence of God, when God's people come together, we are especially in His presence. And I think that must be the sense that Cornelius has as he makes this statement: we are all here present before God. He recognizes that this is someone that serves God. This is an important occasion. This is something in which we are in the presence of God to learn what He would have us to. That leads to the second thing I'd like us to note about these words, and that is that Cornelius wanted to hear God's will. We're here to hear the things commanded you by God, he says. In Acts chapter 11, when we have the account that where Peter explains why he had done what he had done to the other apostles, I want you to notice, if you go to Acts chapter 11, look with me at verses 13 and 14, because I want you to notice the way that it's worded in Peter's re-explanation of what happened and how this had come about. In Acts chapter 11, verse 13, it says that he told us, Peter talking about what Cornelius had said, and he told us how he had seen an angel standing in his house and had said to him, "Send men to Joppa and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter." Listen to this. "Who will tell you words by which you and all your household will be saved." You think that would stir Cornelius up to want to hear these words? Do you think it would stir Cornelius up to, notice, to lead his family as well to be there so that they could hear words by which they must be saved? You know, we don't know the makeup and the nature of the household of Cornelius. A lot of times we've gotten into debate sometimes about this issue, because it does tell us in the conversion that he and his household were baptized. And many have tried to say, well, that must certainly mean that there were infants there. No, we don't have to conclude that. You can have a household that doesn't have infants. But I think, separate and apart from that, I want us to notice the emphasis that I think Cornelius had. He wanted his household, his family, he wanted everyone over whom he had some influence to know this truth as well. As a father, as a husband, that is a great responsibility. If you go with me to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4, in the context of talking about a father's responsibility to children, I want you to notice what is said in Ephesians chapter 6 and in verse 4. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath. Listen to this. But bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. That entails more than just a matter of punishing them when they've done wrong. It entails more than just making sure that they've done their Bible class lessons. That's an important thing. If you look with me over in Deuteronomy chapter 6, when the law of Moses is given, I think we get an indication there of how God wants fathers and mothers to carry out this responsibility. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, read with me verses 6 through 9. After the law of Moses is given, listen to what God says about how parents were to pass that on to their children. Deuteronomy 6 and verse 6. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way, when you lie down and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. You know, we understand that many Jews, in the time of Christ at least, had taken this literally to the point that they would put scriptures on leather bands and they would bind them either around their arm or on their head. And I don't think that was the sense. The idea is that you make this so much a part of who you are. You recognize in every aspect of your life, when you rise up, when you lie down, that responsibility you have to try to teach your family and to try to bring God's word to others. Cornelius wanted his family to hear these things. And so he makes this statement, we are all present before God to hear all the things commanded you by God. I want us to personalize this a little bit. And as we've been announcing, I think it's important for us to recognize that those of us who are members here at Olson Park, or even if you're visiting with us, if you have the opportunity over the next few weeks, we here at Olson Park are going to have two opportunities within a month's time frame in which we'll have some opportunities to hear some things. The first will be, as has been announced, next week. Our elders once a year will schedule a time in which they will talk to the congregation. It's not the only time that they do. Each of our elders gives announcements each Sunday, each Lord's Day. But this is a special time because this is a time in which we kind of review the previous year and we talk about the year ahead. And it's an opportunity in which we can sit at the feet of our elders and learn what they have in mind for us, what they think can help us, how we can grow from them. But then next month, February 11th through the 16th, we'll also have our winter gospel meeting with Brother Jeff Trahan. I've met Brother Trahan. He's visited here before. I think he preached here a time or 2 years back. But Brother Trahan is a faithful gospel preacher. And we will have the opportunity for those days during the meeting to not only on the Lord's Day, but then throughout the week, each evening, to come together and to study from God's Word and to hear those things that are commanded by God for us as it pertains to our salvation, as it pertains to our service to Him. Those are wonderful opportunities that are given to us. Should it be that we have the same kind of attitude that Cornelius had when he was to send for Peter? Well, the Bible certainly teaches that we are to submit to the elders that rule over us. Over in the book of Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 13, I call to your attention the wording that we find in Hebrews chapter 13. First, as it relates to our responsibility, but second, as it relates to the purpose and work of those that rule over us. Notice Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17, obey those who rule over you and be submissive. Why? For they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy, not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. Think about that. First of all, we do have a responsibility. If the elders ask us to do something, if the elders are leading us in a certain direction, assuming that we are not talking about something that is contrary to God's word, we are to submit to them. We are to yield to them. But secondly, notice the wonderful position that they are in. They watch out for our souls. And in fact, the Bible indicates they're going to have to give account for that, how they've done
with that. That's a wonderful thing that we have elders that are looking out for us, that are trying to help us go to heaven, help us do and to be what God would have us do. But as we think about our gospel meeting, certainly in the fact that the Word of God will be preached, like the situation with Cornelius, we will be in a position in which we will hear the things commanded by God. And that's a wonderful opportunity as well. Because when the Word of God is taught, we are put in a position in which it can grow. Over in 1 Peter chapter 2, 1 Peter chapter 2, notice the attitude that Peter says we are to have as we think about this idea of the Word of God being preached and proclaimed. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1, the text says, "Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking." Listen to this, verse 2. "As newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious." The idea seems to be, if you are a child of God, if you recognize the blessing of salvation that you've received, just like a baby craving that pure milk of the Word, whenever there's an opportunity, we need to feed upon it. We need to desire it, because that's what's going to help us grow. You know, you don't very often see a baby that will just say, "You know, I've had enough. I don't need any more. That's enough for me." Every few hours, my new grandbaby needs to be nursed and is ready for that. And she'll let you know if the time seems to go a little too long before she's been able to have that pure milk. We must desire the pure milk of the Word in that same way. We too will hear words by which we may be saved. You remember the statement that the Apostle Peter makes? Go over to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. And you may remember that in John chapter 6, Jesus had said some amazing things about himself, his teaching, as being bread from heaven. That which they were to eat, and that which they were to feed upon. And some had misunderstood that and thought that this man was crazy, saying that they should eat of his flesh. And they left. They departed from him. And I want you to notice that Jesus will then look to his disciples and say, "Well, are you going to leave too?" And I want you to notice the answer that Peter gives in John chapter 6 and verse 68. "But Simon Peter answered him, 'Lord, to whom shall we go? For you have the words of eternal life.'" When we are looking at the teaching of the gospel, when we are looking at what our Lord has revealed to us through his word, we are hearing, we are studying, we are examining those things that are commanded by God. We are hearing words by which we may be saved. We are hearing the words of eternal life. Well, I'm going to ask each of us the question as we think about these two special opportunities. In many respects, these things should apply to any opportunity that we have to come together and to worship. But particularly next week with our meeting with the elders, and then next month with our gospel meeting, will we be present before God to hear those things? You know, it may be that in your life it'll take some planning. I don't know what your schedule is like. I don't know what your work schedule is like. It may be that you need to try to hear a month out, do some juggling to see if you can make sure that you can be here for those nights of the gospel meeting. It may be that even next week there's some juggling that you have to do to make sure that you can be here for that study. You know, last time that we had a gospel meeting, we encouraged something that turned out to be very successful. This week, I'll be trying to get the flyer out, and we'll have paper flyers that you can hand out to our friends. But we are blessed to live in an age in which we can electronically extend invitations free of charge at the push of a button. The last time that we had a gospel meeting, we asked many to look at the ad that was put on the Facebook page for the church and to simply hit share. And by doing that, hundreds of people were able to hear and to see the invitation to be able to come. Will we invite someone? Will we do what we can to try to, just as Cornelius did, he wanted his family to hear. He wanted those that he had influence over to hear. Will we have that same kind of attitude? We will have an opportunity. Will we invite someone? Will we make sure that our family is present before God. You know, as we think about that responsibility that we as parents are given, you know, sadly, as I've experienced in my own life, once they get grown, you can't always control what they do. They will make their decisions, but you have an influence now. You have a situation now in which you can try to present situations to them, present opportunities to them to grow. Will we set that example? May it never be that during this time we have that opportunity and such influence, set a poor example. We don't have the right kind of priorities. I hope as we think about these things that each of us will have the same kind of attitude that Cornelius did, to say within ourselves, we are all present before God to hear all the things commanded you by God. If you're here this morning and you've never been obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ, the reason that we talk about things such as this, the reason that we consider it to be important to come together and worship God, to look for those opportunities where we can grow from the Word of God, because we have a God in heaven that loved us enough that He sent His Son to die for us. Our sins have separated us from God, but if we will put our faith in Jesus as the Son of God, confessing Him before men, repenting of sin that separates us from God, and then submitting to baptism in water for the remission of our sins, by which our sins may be washed away, just like was true of the household of Cornelius. If we do that, we're reconciled back to God. And that's a wonderful thing because it grants to us the hope of eternal life. If you're here this morning, you've never done that, all things are ready and prepared. We could baptize you this morning just like we did Gretchen last week, and we'd rejoice, and the angels of heaven would rejoice in your salvation. Won't you come while we stand and sing?